This episode is sponsored by Tin Can Timepieces. Looking for a watch that's built for anything life throws at you? Let me introduce you to Tin Can Timepieces. This is more than just a watch. It's a commitment to quality and purpose. Tin Can Timepieces is proudly based out of Georgia and is owned and operated by an active-duty U.S. Navy submariner. That's right, a company built on discipline and precision. Every watch they create is handcrafted and features reliable automatic movements, ensuring you get a premium quality feel with every tick. Whether you need a rugged diver or a classic dress watch, Tin Can offers an assortment of styles for every mission. Tin Can Timepieces. Hand-built for purpose, built for the depths. Dive deeper and check out their collection today at tincantime.com.
All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the pod staff. With me tonight, I have Mr. Blake Oye. Blake, thank you for being here, brother.
Michael, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Awesome, dude. So Blake is... I would consider Blake a sales guru, honestly. Blake's done solar sales. He's done tech sales. He's done. He's been in healthcare sales. He's done print shop sales. So I want to emphasize that, but I also want to emphasize that first and foremost, Blake is a Christ follower. He's a husband and he's a father. So Blake, I'll let you share a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no, appreciate that, Michael. Most importantly, a follower of Christ, right? That's an identity that we try to live by and keep and really use that and follow that as far as, you know, life and where we're going to go with everything. But yeah, I mean, work-wise, kind of start backwards. Equipment sales, heavy industrial printing equipment is kind of what we do. Capital equipment is what we do. And then going into door-to-door sales. That's something that I've done for a long time.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, not for the faint-hearted at all, but definitely something that I can say that has molded me not only as a professional but as a person, because it definitely tests you. And then, of course, healthcare sales and solar, which is back to door-to-door again. So fun stuff, man. All good things, though.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is definitely the solar sales. I want to get into more of the emotional stuff in terms of Christ and family a little bit later, but I think the solar sales, the door-to-door stuff, is incredible because you made a good living doing it. Like a lot of people, they shut the door in the faces of the door-to-door guys, and you literally did well and made a living off of it for years and years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a challenge, right? They call it the solar coaster. It's kind of funny because...
I've never heard that.
Yeah, no, it's a funny term that you learn in the industry, and it's a lot of up and down, because you may have a good day where, you know, you may knock, let's say, 100-plus doors, and maybe you get a couple appointments, maybe you even get a sale, and what the industry is called a same day. You knock the door... Same day you sat with the customer, and same day you closed the customer. Not something that is done often, but when you do it, is very much praised in the industry. And then you may go 2-3 days, maybe even longer, without getting anything, without getting an appointment. And you're still required to wake up next day and get back out there and go do it again.
So how many days are you knocking?
7 days.
7 days a week.
If you want to be successful... I'm not saying that I knock 7 days every week. I'll be honest and say that, but because I'm a man of balance, and I think that work-life balance is important. But when you meet the guys that are really successful and that make a lot of money, they're working 7 days a week in the industry. Because the thing about knocking doors is that it's not your typical 8-to-5 job. You're not having to be there at 7:30 or 8, and then you're not, you know, taking a lunch break at noon, and then you're back at the grind until 5. And they're not micromanaging you, right? You're more or less your own boss. Yeah, I mean, you have some managers and some leaders that are going to push you, and they're going to ask you to do these things. They're going to ask you to, you know, hey, make sure you hit your numbers. How many doors are you going to be on today? Where are you going to be at? You know, they want to know all these things. But that's more of a motivation, right? It's kind of their job, because the more that I sell, the more money they make as managers, and then the more money the company makes overall. So they kind of hold you accountable, right? But yeah. At the end of the day, they can't.
And how many doors would you be knocking every day of that 7?
Probably about 100.
Wow.
Yeah, give or take. I mean, that's where you want to be.
So, like, what How many deals, whenever you're knocking, just cold knocking on doors, would that equate to for like a good living every month? Let's just say as a sales guy, you wanted to make 10 grand a month. Mm-hmm. Like how many doors would have to say yes to you?
So let's say, because that's a good question. Let's say you knock 100 doors a day and let's say you work 5 days a week. So let's average it out to 500 doors a week. Within those 500 doors that you knocked, you probably want to have at least 10 appointments set, right? And that's minimum. I mean, some guys may watch this and be like, 10, that's rookie numbers. You need to be doing better than that, right? But for, just for example's sake, say you set 10 appointments, which in the grand scheme of things is not good numbers, statistically speaking, right?
Yeah.
But out of those 10 sits is what we call them, right? Because you actually get to have a meeting and you actually get to sit down and you meet with the homeowner and you have a presentation with them. If you can close 3 of those deals, you're going to exceed the $10,000 commission mark that you're asking.
So it's like I feel like most sales, if not all sales, is a true numbers game. Marketing, yep. Sales, numbers game.
Yep.
But to me, and not even just by what you said just now, but like what we've talked about in the past, it just sounds like that's like door-to-door knocking is the ultimate numbers game in sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have a plan. I mean, you do. I've seen guys in meetings, you know, get called up. There's a guy by the name of Sam Taggart. He's a pretty popular door-to-door guy. And he's on Instagram, and he does podcasts, and he makes videos. And companies all around the country hire him to come in and to train their sales force on how to do exactly what Sam did and how Sam made millions of dollars being a door-to-door guy. And Sam's thing is that, how much money do you want to make this year? Oh, I want to make $100,000. What are you going to do to get there? Well, I'm going to go out and sell solar. Okay, yeah, that's fine. We get that. But what's your plan? How many doors are you going to knock a day? How many doors do you need to knock to set an appointment? How many appointments do you need to make your money? Like he broke everything down to the door, right? I mean, it's a plan. You got to know exactly where you want to be. And then as you, let's say, work this plan for 3 months, well, then you can go back and you can measure that and say, okay, I've knocked X amount of doors. I've set X amount of appointments. I've sat down with X amount of homeowners and I've closed X amount of deals. And so I know where I need to be to continue to do this trend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be measurable, just like with anything.
Yeah, and I think that's a common misconception with sales is that it's, especially door-to-door, it's like grimy or it's, you know, whatever people want to label it.
Yeah.
And what people fail to understand, and I want you to speak on this, is that it still is an experiment and it's not a science experiment. But it is an experiment in the same sense that a financial person is going to evaluate a company.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, hey, here are the numbers. Here's what we did. Here's how much we did. And here's what we can spend. And here's what we lost on. And like all that,
yeah.
I think a lot of times is failed to be recognized in the sales industry.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I can say when I got into solar, I didn't think of it that way. I was just hungry, naive, not afraid, and you want me to go knock doors? Cool, I'll go knock doors. Tell me what you want me to say. I'll go say it. And I would do that. And then I found out pretty quickly, like, okay, I'm not bad at this. I can do this, right? And then as you start to learn and you rub elbows with people that are successful in the industry, then you start to realize like, okay, well, I need to plan, kind of like what I said. I need to start figuring this out. I need to really hone in on what I'm doing here and not just out here shooting blind, right? I need to make sure that I'm succeeding in a way that's measurable and is going to pay off, because people get burnt out really easy in the solar industry. It's very common in a high turnover type of industry because you are looked at as like a snake oil type door-to-door guy, yeah. Right? I mean, it is what it is, man. And for me, I never would accept that identity. Like I didn't accept myself as that, because I know me, and if you know me, you know that that's not what I'm about. I'm an honest person. I want to do the right thing, and I genuinely felt like, okay, well, I'm here to sell you something that could help you. And one of my managers, he was the owner of the company, actually, he was really successful in solar. And so much so that he started his own company and he did really well. And he told us, and he told me, I'm not a good salesman. And I'll admit that. But what I'm good at is finding people that are interested in learning about solar. And that was it. Because you'll meet the guys that are like, knock on your door. Hey, Mr. Homeowner, I'm here to talk to you about solar. I'm not interested. Well, why aren't you interested? Well, why is that? Why is this? Why? And then they want to push against every single objection. And that's sales 101, right? Trying to overcome objections. But at the door, your window of opportunity is very small. And once you start pushing into a homeowner, you just interrupted his dinner. You just interrupted playtime with his children. You don't know what's going on behind that door, man. Like, you have no idea. And he told you initially, hey, I'm not interested. But you feel, I can convince this guy to hear what I have to say. And maybe you can. Maybe you get one out of 50. That's like, okay, yeah, I'll listen to you. But most of the time, people want you to kick rocks, right? They'll tell you immediately.
I want you to kick rocks. Honestly, when I have pests control guys come to the house.
You see? Yeah.
I will say this. As a sales guy, yes, I want you to kick rocks, but I usually open the door and I say, if I'm busy, I say, hey guys, appreciate the hustle. I am busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just sometimes let them give the little spiel. But that's only because I've been in sales before.
Sales. I can relate, bro, because I want to hear. And mentally, I'm critiquing their pitch.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll get feedback. Yeah. I'm like, hey, do you want feedback on this? Because I don't own this house, by the way.
Yeah. No, I've done that before. I think one time, I'm pretty sure I did this. I gave a guy a sales book, and I was like, you need to read this. I was like, you can be a lot better. You should read this book. No disrespect. And he appreciated it.
Yeah.
Luckily, right? Because that could have been taken as an insult. But I was like, you should read this book, and I think that you could be a lot better at what you're doing. So... yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. And at that time, it clicked for me. And it's like, all right, let me stop trying to bully everybody into meeting with me to talk about solar. And it becomes a numbers game. And let me find people that are interested in learning about it. Because there are. So maybe 100 doors isn't enough. Maybe I need to knock 150. And if I can find two people that are interested in meeting with me, well, then that's a win. Because I felt like once I got into this setting with you and I can sit down at your kitchen table and hang out with you and talk to you about these things, that's when I'm really selling you.
Yeah.
It's not at the door.
Yeah. It's just the foot in the door. And it's interesting to me because when I met you, I was I thought solar sales dudes were like, dude, Did your parents not raise you right? Like, I literally thought things like that.
You're a door-to-door guy?
Dude, yeah. You're a door-to-door guy? Like, right. Whoa. But then I met you, and like I actually learned about what you, like your philosophy on it, and it just kind of changed my whole mindset. And it just made me think, like, not even, like, we can move on from the topic of solar, but like just sales in general, like the topics of conversation and how you like craft those conversations,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like across, that can be relayed across different sales industries and 100%. Stuff like that.
Yeah, no, so, it's spot on.
And I feel like you had I almost feel like it's a huge asset to you that you did solar,
mm-hmm.
because that's like the number one getting told no industry there is.
Yep.
And now you're successfully selling, how many years later?
Six
years later.
Yeah. Five or 6 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 2020 to like 2022 or three. Yeah. Somewhere around there. So yeah, somewhere, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. And especially whenever we got into healthcare sales and we were doing it over the phone, it was a breeze because I didn't have to look at anybody in the face.
Yeah.
You could tell me no and you could hang up on me and I didn't care. And I'd pick up the phone and I'd dial again.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and it was a little bit easier than like, all right, this guy just told me to F off and his dog was barking and he was mad and he slammed the door in my face and now I got to put a smile on and go to the next door and then it happens again. And then it happens again. And then before you know it, you're defeated and you want to go home.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. It's discipline is what it teaches you for sure.
Well, yeah, and that's how we met, was the healthcare tech sales. And I think what you mentioned earlier was like you were naive whenever you got into solar. So you weren't actually looking at the numbers. And I think that's an interesting question for just sales and really life, like starting out in any industry, not just sales, is it better to have a system in place that allows you to evaluate the work that you've done versus the progress that you've made and then figure out a formula? Or is it better to come in naive as hell and just say, I don't know anything about anything, I'm just going to work hard?
I think naive is the way to go. Because I think of as to that question as a leader, I want the naive guy. I want the guy that has no fear, doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he just wants to show up and grind. Because that's the guy that you can coach. Hopefully he's coachable, and he probably is, because he's hungry, and you can see it, right? Because he's driven, and he's just going to get after it. So I think it's better to be naive first and then to learn your system or to learn a system afterwards and to start focusing on the past, and then you can start to measure where you're at, because then you're honing, right? Then you're really starting to
mature.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. You're maturing. You're figuring out the mistakes that you made, because let's be honest, man, you're going to make mistakes, and that's just part of it. And you got to learn from them, and hopefully you have a good leader that can help you do that and overcome that and continue to figure that out. And sometimes you don't have a leader. Like in solar, like I had managers, but I didn't have leaders, right? And it wasn't until later that I learned what, like, true leadership actually looked like and what that was. And that's where you can get like really dangerous in a good way, because you can really become, because it's easy to get like tunnel vision, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's really easy to get that way, but you need someone to kind of like be a fresh set of eyes to maybe see the things that you don't see.
Yeah, and I think that's big on, like you said, leadership, not just managing. And I've had a few podcast guests on recently that have been like very high-level leaders, and they've preached that, like community over culture and like and stuff like that. And it, I think... And a lot of the guests I've had on recently are 60 and above. Hmm. And what it's taught me is that they are looking to the younger generation to say, what are they wanting? What's their philosophy around things? Like, what are the hardworking ones? Like, what questions are they asking? Because now we live in a generation of like asking questions, and that comes with the naivety that we're talking about. Because asking questions is, it just comes with being curious. Mm-hmm. And we're past the age of, especially like if you're new in a sales career, like typically you don't go into a sales career brand new out of college if you have everything figured out. You go into a sales career because you are curious and you want to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the generation. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I mean, asking questions is learning, right? I mean, that's... and that's selling, to be honest with you. If you're a good salesman, you're not just talking about yourself all the time. You're discovering, you're asking questions to the client, you're figuring out, you know, the good and the bad, you know, what they need, what they don't need. And I mean, questions is everything. I always used to relate sales to dating, right? Before I was married, obviously, whenever I was dating.
Kayla, he's talking about your marriage.
if you're trying to get to know someone, like when I got to know my wife, it was a long distance thing. We were texting and talking on the phone a lot. So what are we texting about most of the time? We're discovering each other. We're asking each other questions. We're figuring out if this is what we want. Do we want to continue to pursue this? Do I want to continue to invest my time with this person, whether it's me, whether it's her, right? And you know pretty quickly if you're asking the right questions and you're figuring out the right information, if this is the person for you. So I say that because in sales, like, I felt always kind of viewed it that way. Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to decide if this person wants to date me, more or less. Do they want to buy my product? Can I get them to purchase my product?
Yeah.
And questions is the way to go. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. And, you know, I think it's been something that's been taught for a long time. But, yeah, the younger generation, we have a lot of information at our fingertips, especially with AI, ChatGPT, right? That's a big topic that a lot of people are you know, talking about. I'm guilty of it. I use it quite a bit in a good way. I think it's been good for me if you use it correctly. But you a lot of information out there that you can get if you ask the right questions, and you can learn pretty quickly.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Tin Can Timepieces. Looking for a watch that's built for anything life throws at you? Let me introduce you to Tin Can Timepieces. This is more than just a watch. It's a commitment to quality and purpose. Tin Can Timepieces is proudly based out of Georgia and is owned and operated by an active-duty U.S. Navy submariner. That's right, a company built on discipline and precision. Every watch they create is handcrafted and features reliable automatic movements, ensuring you get a premium, quality feel with every tick. Whether you need a rugged diver or a classic dress watch, Tin Can offers an assortment of styles for every mission. Tin Can Timepieces. Hand-built for purpose, built for the depths. Dive deeper and check out their collection today at tincantime.com.
My philosophy is this. The guy that comes in and has no idea what he's doing, or guy or girl, no idea what they're doing, no idea what they're talking about, but they're actually just doing, they're not missing the moment. Because you mentioned something earlier, and I agree, about like whenever you are... you're not naive anymore. So now you're evaluating. So you come in naive and then you start evaluating.
Right.
And after you're, after you come in, you reach that point. But until you reach the evaluation point, you have a window. That window of naivety is so minuscule. It's short-lived. And I personally believe that the people who are extremely successful in the world are the ones who, when they were naive, they took advantage of being naive instead of shying away and saying, oh, I have to evaluate this.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a good view, because it's like, you don't, why try to hurry up and grow up? You know what I mean? Like, I look back at like being a kid, and all I wanted to do was couldn't wait to be a grown up. And then you become a grown up and you're like, man, I want to be a kid again. You know what I mean? And so it makes me think of that, because why be in such a hurry to get there? Just soak and live in that moment and be a sponge and soak it in. And before you know it, you will be there, right?
Yeah.
If that answers the question.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely, you know, you get to a place and you're like, oh, I want to be like that guy. He's so successful and he's, you know, getting all the praise and the promotions and the money and this and that. And that's cool. But like, he grinded to probably get there.
Yeah.
Right. He probably wasn't.
Everyone says, you know, they're so lucky.
Yeah. Well, you didn't see the dark days.
Yeah, you
and
didn't
the grind.
See that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the work and everything that they put in. And a lot of times, like, you know, the things that you think are easy, or someone made it look easy, let's say, it wasn't. They put a lot of work and hours in the dark, by themselves, grinding, and just continuing to outwork themselves every single day. And then, yeah, they got to the point where they could do this, whatever they were doing, and make it look easy. Michael Jordan's a prime example of that. Kobe Bryant, you know, those guys, Tom Brady, like, they made it look so easy, but they worked really hard.
Yeah.
All the time, right? And at one point, you know, Michael Jordan didn't make the basketball team, right? Tom Brady wasn't a high draft pick, right? These guys were not always competing at the level that they were, but they continue to work hard and they made it. Hard work beats talent every day of the week, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to go get it. You got to have that dog in you.
Yeah.
You know?
That dog. Yeah. I like that dog.
Yeah. Not to be unprofessional, but I'm just saying.
Dude, like, this is not a professional podcast. You got to have that fucking dog in you.
You got to have that dog in you. Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You got to have that dog in you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, It's just over and over you see, like, and I've done some hiring and stuff too, like, and you see people, they're naive and they're hungry, and there are leaders and people who would like to take advantage of them, and then there's leaders and people who would like to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And of that is okay, because
well said.
They end up growing into what you coach them to grow to. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen a couple of times is, like, whether I'm coaching someone myself or someone has coached me, the best leaders, they are not worried about someone surpassing them.
Yeah.
And so they will teach you everything that they know.
Yep.
But the insecure ones, and it's really easy. They're not bad people. It's really easy to be insecure. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who will say, I'll teach you enough to be dangerous,
yeah,
but never enough to take my job.
Yep, yep. And that's not a leader, yeah, in my opinion. It's not. That's not somebody that really genuinely cares, right? Like, a real leader, in my opinion, is like, I want what's best for you, and I want you to own the company one day, hopefully, right? Like, that's the way I view it, and it's not easy, right? But a lot of people are selfish, or they are insecure, like you said, and maybe they don't even realize it. They don't mean to be that way, right?
Most of them don't, and I think we're so hard on leaders too in general.
Yeah.
And everyone's just figuring it out.
Yeah, like, no, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're right. I've just had recent guests on that have written 6 books and been chief whatever of companies and stuff like that. And it's such an honor to be able to talk to them, but it's also even a bigger honor and blessing to come out of that conversation and hear, I'm still learning too. Wow, I'm 27 years old. Mm-hmm. Someone who's 67 years old says, I'm still learning too, and they mean it.
Yeah. Well, you realize, like, we're not so different at the end of the day. Like,
we're not.
But we view these people as like they are.
Yeah,
right?
You made it.
Yeah, wow. right. But that's not the case. Like, yeah, you sit down with them, and it's cool that you can have guests like that are humble enough to sit down and have these conversations with you and just be like, yeah, this is who I am and this is what I do, and my success doesn't define me, but it's cool, and I'm just still chipping away and grinding the way I did back when I started, when I was just a naive young person, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get into whatever it was I was getting into.
One of the things I've shied away from, I don't know if it's on purpose, but it's just not a very comfortable topic, is money. So I want to talk about money with you.
Yeah.
And I want your thoughts on idolizing money. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, sales and things like that. But I think what interests me a lot about you and our friendship and what I've learned from you is your Christ following, mm-hmm, and how that has progressed into something that not only changes your view on money, but it changes your view on everything. And it's not tangible things. It ends up being much more. So I want to start with money, though. You've made a lot of money in the past. You've spent a lot of money in the past.
Yep.
And I want to hear about the balance whenever maybe you were making and spending like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely a balance. That's definitely the word that I would say, because we need money, right? Obviously, to live and to have a life that we all dream of. But idolatry is definitely something that, you know, the Bible talks about specifically, and money is a big topic when it comes to things like that, and I've been guilty of that, and I still can be at times. But there were times whenever I've made good money really fast, and, you know, thinking that this is it, and it's going to continue to come in this way, and it's going to continue to be this way, and I can live this lifestyle and spend, buy, travel, whatever I wanted to do. And you know, you realize real quick, or at least I did, I had a point where it didn't, you know, it did slow down. And then you have to pivot, you have to make adjustments. And it can be stressful, it can be tough. And, you know, these are those uncomfortable money conversations that people don't want to talk about. And I'm not afraid to talk about that because of who I am now and who I am today, and hopefully continuing to go down this path that made me this way, and it brought me to this life. And I owe all that to God, honestly, right? I mean, because you always will pray to God whenever, at least me, or I have in the past, or most people, when it's a tough situation, there's a tough time, right? You'll drop on your knee and you'll pray and you'll open the Bible up, and it's easy to go to Him whenever you're struggling, right? I think we all can relate to that. It's when life is good, are you still following those same habits and, you know, continuing to lean on Him and to have Him guide you? And I can say I've been victim of that, where I haven't. And He giveth and He taketh away, right? They always say that. And so I've been taught lessons before, especially with money, that I've had it and then I didn't, or not as much. And I would go to Him and I would pray and I would worship and I would, you know, go to church and continue to focus on these things. And then I realized that I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I shouldn't be focused on money. I should be focused on God and focused on what He wants me to do. And one thing that I want to say, that I meant to say this earlier, was that, you know, you read a lot of sales books, you read a lot of stuff or podcasts. Man, a lot of that stuff is biblical, in my opinion. You can read the Bible or you can read good biblical books and get the same idea or the same generic information that these sales books are reading or teaching. And the Bible will teach you the same stuff, in my opinion.
What do you mean?
Well, just the Bible's a guide, right? It's you know, a way to teach you to live, a way to teach you to be and to think and you know, to do what's right, right? And to be Christ-like. We can't be like Him. It's not possible. But we can work to be as close as we can. And I feel that if you live your life by the Bible, right, and you are a Christian and it is a true lifestyle for you and something that you really want to do genuinely deep inside your heart, like that's really who you are, that you will be successful, right, or whatever you do. But specifically to sales, in my opinion, that a lot of those, you know, motivational books and self-help and, you know, some sales books, what they're teaching, I think the Bible teaches a lot of that same stuff if you know the book, you know, personally. So at the top of my mind right now, I can't sit here and pinpoint like, oh, this verse right here is a sales verse. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I just think in general, like if you're reading that and you're living that day to day, that you'll be successful in your sales career.
Yeah, because, man, I just want to take a beat and say, wow.
Yeah, it's...
Because... It does. You're right. A true sales mentality is a true caring mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yep.
It's an interest in others, and it's a interested, not interesting, play. You know, and it's play is the absolute wrong word, because it's really just wanting to connect with others. And I think one of the other things that came up for me is you were talking about you can listen to things and you can, you know, about Christ and stuff like that. Did I hear you right?
Yeah.
That are actually still accurate.
Right.
Yeah. So I relate to the George Janko podcast. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. I know George.
But that's because I've followed him for a while before he was huge, and now I really believe what he's saying, mm-hmm. right? So, like, it's almost like a credibility trust where it's like, you know what, today I might not have had time to read the Bible. Really, I didn't make time to read the Bible.
Right.
But I had time to scroll on George Janko's...
Yeah.
podcast,
right.
And he spit a verse out, or he spit a concept out, or he mentioned Christ, and I think we're missing the whole point if we don't talk about Christ in that way.
Like, yeah.
And when we say Christ, Jesus Christ, I think that needs to be said. more and more Jesus Christ. I personally believe that every religion, I really believe that every religion is a bunch of people trying to do good. Christianity, Islam, like genuinely, I believe that most people are trying to do good.
We're all headed in the same direction at the end of the day.
Right. But I think that a lot of people only like to talk about God broadly. And I, having you on, have just this unique opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. And I just want to listen to you and hear a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's, you know, because I didn't answer your first question, so it was a...
I forgot about the first question.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I kind of rambled a little bit, and then we went off, which is fine, but it you know, when it comes... I'll get back to this, but when it comes to money, you know, he did teach me a lot about, you know, what I needed and what was important to survive. And once I realized that, and once I focused on following him and not worrying about the tangible items or, you know, the cool car or, you know, what I wear, like, yeah, I mean, I like to look a certain way and that's fine, but it's not, it doesn't define me, right? As I can say, at one point, maybe it did.
Yeah.
But I do look at money a lot differently now, and I am grateful for it, for what I do have. And, you know, if I don't get it, then it's not meant to me. If I don't close this deal, yeah, it sucks, but it wasn't meant for me, and I got more in the pipeline, and I'm just going to keep grinding, right? I'm just going to keep putting the work in every day. I'm going to keep focused on what's important, what I need to be focused on, right? God, family, health, and friends. Those are the things that are really important to me, specifically in that order, right? And as long as you continue to do that and you continue to work hard and hone in on your craft, then it kind of goes back to what you're saying. Like, people will see that in you. Whenever you go and you meet a client, they'll see that you're genuine. They'll see that, you know, you are this person that you portray yourself to be. And I tell people that I'm a follower in Christ. I wear it on my wrist. I don't hide this from anybody. You know, I'll be more than happy to talk about it. I have friends in the industry that are Muslim, and we go sit down and we have lunch and we debate, and it's all friendly banter, right? It's nothing personal. We go back and forth. We talk about this. We talk about that. And at the end, we leave. There's no hard feelings. We go on about our lives because we know at the end of the day, just like you said, we're all focus on doing the right thing. And just because our beliefs are skewed a little bit, it doesn't mean that we have to have differences. It just means that we have different religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And I don't fault anybody for that. You know, you do what you want to do, but I know I stand firm on Christ, and that's what I believe, and I'll talk about that until I can't.
Dude, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not even like a podcast thank you. This is a thank you for sharing that.
I got you, bro.
I had my first episode I released, Albir Rafati. Albir, shout out to you, brother. He told me about his Islam faith and his Muslim faith, and he actually talked about it a little bit on the podcast. And I think that there's so much hate that goes back and forth. You know, you hear about the wars, and you hear about, you know, all that stuff. But what we forget as Christians sometimes, and what was so nice to talk to him about, was Jesus loved. Like, what he did was he loved people. And I mean, I don't know that you have to say much more. He loved people, and he celebrated differences, and he you know, voiced his own opinion. And I think that that's really cool that you've got to a point with people of different religions where you're able to talk about your faith versus their faith, and like have like a
yeah, and it's not insulting.
Yes, right? I'm not, exactly.
I'm not looking to do that. You know, it would be one thing if I met someone that was an atheist that was bashing Christ, right?
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, I'm not okay with that. Yeah. You know, I'll go to war over that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not like in a physical way. Like,
no, I know what you mean.
But, you know, I think that's something, because what you said, like, yeah, Christ did love all, but something that I heard recently was that, and it resonated with me, and I'll share this with you. It's something that I have that I'll send you offline. But, you know, God does hate all that is not him. Mm. And I never thought of it like that, because growing up, it's like Jesus loves everybody.
And no one wants to talk about
that. Nobody wants to talk about that. But why is it? Why should I love the guy that is hating on God, the God that I love, the Christ that I love? Why should I love that person? You know, I'm not saying like I hate you, like I want to destroy you or I want to kill you, right? But no, I'm not going to allow you to do that without standing up for what I believe in. And, you know, what you're saying is wrong and it's ugly and it's not what I stand for. And no, I'm not for you. I am against you. 100% I am against you, because you're against me, right? And if God was here right now, or Christ was here right now, and people were throwing rocks at him and they were trying to stone him or whatever, I'm going to fight for this guy. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it.
You know, I've mentioned Jesus here and there and stuff like that in a kumbaya way, which is not what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear on a couple of things, and I think I speak for you in saying this. It has nothing to do with being at war with someone, being at, you know, utter controversy at someone. It has nothing to do with also not loving someone. It is about love, but I think we misdefine love because we forget that love has loyalty, and loyalty sometimes brings conflict, and conflict brings passion. And passion brings war.
That's deep.
So
that's deep, man. Yeah, well said. That is very well said. Yeah. Religion is can be a sensitive topic for some people.
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody wants to talk about that, or maybe they're afraid, and you know, they're not at that point yet. But you know, I've been through some things in my life that, you know, weren't always the best and weren't always good, and you know, God spared me and gave me a chance to be the person that I am today, and let me be a husband, you know, gave me the gift to be a father. And, you know, whenever you look back on it and see like everything that he's done for me personally, I owe it all to him, man. I mean, there's nothing that I can say that I've done that wasn't for him. And, you know, I still fail every day. I'm not perfect. I'm not the person that I want to be, but I'm not the person that I was, right? And it's because of him. So I'll just say that.
This episode is sponsored by Tin Can Timepieces. Looking for a watch that's built for anything life throws at you? Let me introduce you to Tin Can Timepieces. This is more than just a watch. It's a commitment to quality and purpose. Tin Can Timepieces is proudly based out of Georgia and is owned and operated by an active duty U.S. Navy submariner. That's right, a company built on discipline and precision. Every watch they create is handcrafted and features reliable automatic movements, ensuring you get a premium quality feel with every tick. Whether you need a rugged diver or a classic dress watch, Tin Can offers an assortment of styles for every mission. Tin Can Timepieces, hand-built for purpose, built for the depths. Dive deeper and check out their collection today at tincantime.com.
I think you have something in you now that, like, it's in your heart. And everything you're saying points to God.
Mm-hmm.
We took a break probably 30 minutes ago. And before we came back, I asked Blake, I said, Blake, what is it that's on your heart to be talked about? And he was like, well, you know, this, this, and this. And then I just kind of interrupted, and I was like, I just want to preface it by, I want to talk about God at the end. About God and family at the end.
Yeah.
And he said, that's totally fine. I know you want to talk about it at the end. I guess what's on my mind is this, this, and this. And what this, this, and this was indirectly God.
Yeah.
And that's what we ended up talking about.
Yeah.
And that's what's oozing from your pores right now. Like, it's in you. It's coming out of you. And it's like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in a brother and a friend. And this is not a question. This is just a...
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
A compliment.
It means a lot because it doesn't always feel that way. You know, the devil definitely continues to attack you, right? So, and just me being competitive, and I think you can relate to this, and just like always seeking more, right? And always wanting more out of yourself. And, you know, having that like negative thought in your head that like you're not doing enough, you're not working hard enough, you're not producing enough, right? Like, I'm guilty of that. And Christ has definitely helped me not always feel that way. It's hard to not always do that, you know, but it's a constant battle. And I think we talked about this earlier, is like, you know, oh, when I feel that way, you said this, when I feel this way, I think it's the devil, right? And I was like, no, it 100% is.
Yeah.
Hey, don't think it, know it. It is him trying to...
I did say that. I said, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You did. Yeah, yeah. And not that you meant it, because you probably do know, but it's just natural to say that, but...
Yeah, but there is, I would argue to say that you don't know it. You do think it.
Right?
That's because true. Your gut reaction and your brain says, yes, this is from the devil, or this is from evil.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look on Instagram or you look somewhere else and it's like, it's just your own mind trying to sabotage you. And it's like, I don't think I can get on board with the fact that your own mind naturally wants to sabotage you.
No.
Sabotage you. Why would your own mind want to sabotage you? Your mind is with you.
Yeah.
So why would you want to do that?
Your mind wants to protect you. Yeah. Scientifically, if you really want to get into it, it's actually designed to protect you and to keep you at bay, to keep you passive, to keep you, you know, just quiet and relaxed. That's really what our minds are designed to do. But, you know, certain people, certain thought processes, if you are, let's say, always go to competition, if you are competitive, then you're constantly challenging yourself, right? Do I want to get up at 5 a.m. and do that workout? Absolutely not, right? My brain is telling me, no, don't do that. Hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. How great does that sound? It sounds amazing. But that dog in me is like, no, get your ass up and quit being weak and go do that, right? And so your mind typically is like really trying to protect you. So is your mind really saying, trying to sabotage you? And no, it's not. It is the devil. But is society telling us today, like, well, you need to focus on you. You need to focus on what do you want to do? And, you know, you need to worry about yourself and what makes you happy. Well, that's not the way it works.
Well, I would like to know your thoughts on the other side of it, where society says, you just got to listen to God. God's going to tell you to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. God's going to do that.
Yeah.
So you've got the other side of it that we talked about earlier that does trick. It tricks it for me. Like it, you just wonder, what's the most resourceful place that I can look? And there are people, and I don't know the answer to this. I truly don't. There are people who say, all the answers are within you. There are people who say, all the answers are within you if you have God in you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who say, you know none of the answers. God knows all of them, and he'll reveal them to you in time. There are people who say, you know the answers, but the devil's going to try to be at war with you, so just be at war with the devil.
Yeah.
And the list goes
on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. That's true. That those are all very valid points. The way that I look at it, this is just my opinion, is that what does God want the most from you and I? He wants our obedience to him, right? We are obedient to him and what he wants us to do. And the Bible will teach us how to do that.
But are people who are going to hear this, they are... if they're devout Christ followers, that might resonate.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say that they should look at?
Well, like, obedience is nothing without action at the same time, though, right? Kind of like what you said, like, well, God will give this to me if I just wait and be patient. Well, if your car breaks down and you need it to go to work and go to the grocery store and get your kids or whatever it is, you don't just sit around your house and wait for a car to show up. You know what I mean? Like, that's not logical.
That's good.
It's not. You got to go take some action to get a new car, right?
And what would you say to, like, blind action? Because I think that in my life, I've taken a lot of, and I don't say this to be noble, I just truly have taken a lot of blind action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've drank too much in the past. I've been the wrong guy in the past. And there are times in my life that I don't want to repeat. Mm-hmm. So I just say, I'm going to go here. And I don't know if that's the way. But when I've done that, I do feel like I've gotten kind of what you're talking about, where God has said, you're running, you know, there's three paths and they're all kind of connected, but you're running down this one and I really want you down this one. So I'm going to, like, slap your ass and take you to the middle one and then just kind of, like, have you go down there. And then I'm like, all right, I'm down there. And then I'm so far down that path. And then I'm like, well, this isn't working. So hard left. Yeah. And then I go hard left. Back and God's like, woo!
Yep. Right.
45 degree angle,
yeah,
you know?
Right. So, yeah, no, that's, it is tough because you want to always do the right thing. But one thing that I've learned that has really helped me is, because I'd always hear this term, right? The Holy Spirit. Right, what, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Like, what is the Holy Spirit? I never really truly understood that. I don't know if you do personally, but it was something that I didn't truly grasp.
Are you asking?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I am at the same time. Like, do you feel that you know what that is at this point?
I think that is a that's a touchy subject for church in general.
Mm-hmm. I went to a small group as well at my church at Milestone, and was a part of this, I don't know, it was small groups, and then it led to an event, and this was like a two-day event that we'd go to, and it was called Freedom. And during that time of Freedom, I don't want to get into the whole thing, it is a lot to unpack, but it was a great time, great experience, and did it with some friends, and made some friends, and, you know, it was men, and then women, and then we all come together. But I did learn about, genuinely, in my mind, mentally, kind of had an epiphany of, like, this is what the Holy Spirit really is. And what I realized was that it was within me the whole time. Like, the person that I am, the way that I treat people, how I view things, my honesty, you know, all these great traits, I guess I can say. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. I'm absolutely not. But all these things that, like, my mother instilled in me, right? You talked about your dad, and my dad did a good job too, but my mother instilled in me were traits from the Holy Spirit that were always within me. Yeah, now Blake as a human being made these mistakes and made these decisions and decided to be this person at certain times throughout my life and do things. And I wasn't always in church. I wasn't always with God. I wasn't always doing those things, right? But he was still in here, right? He was still within me. Now, was I feeding that and was I living off of that and genuinely being that person all the time? No, I wasn't. But it was at that moment when I was at Freedom that I realized, like, it's been within me this entire time. I just haven't been living that way. I haven't been feeding the Spirit. I haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit, right? And the more that you're in church and the more that you're listening to the Word, reading the Word, talking about the Word with others, that's a big thing too, is being in those small groups.
It's so filling.
It is, and you don't realize it. And something that we talked about earlier was, you know, leading my family to that, right? And making sure that that's the foundation of my home, in my house and my family, and that, you know, my child and maybe future children, that, that that's how we live our lives, and that that is number one most important thing that we can do, is keep God at the center of it all. And, you know, without Him, it's going to be tough. Life will be really tough. Not that it's not already, or it won't be, right? It's not like you're, it's just an escape from anything. But, yeah, I mean, just talking about it here right now and having no fear to talk about that, and, you know, being comfortable to talk about Him and letting people know, like, this is how I live my life, and you know, all these traits about me are through God. And I don't know. Like I said, at first I never really understood it. Like, I knew that I wanted a relationship with God, and I'd go to church and I'd read the Bible and be like, okay, yeah, I do this, I do this, I don't do that. Like, okay, yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, I'm doing all right, you know? Like, I could be better, but, like, genuinely, like, who are you as a person? Like, are you bitter? Are you evil deep inside? Are you a hater? Are you judgmental? Like, I think of all those, like, other traits and words that I use, like, those are not ways of God. Those are not ways of Christ, right? Like, I want the best for everybody. And if I see a stranger on the side of the road and they need something, if I can help them, I will. Like, I don't know if that's it, but that's what I want to do. We don't know their path. I have an extra dollar in my pocket because God blessed me to have the means to do that. If I can give it to this person and maybe make a difference, I'm willing to do that. And yeah, that makes me feel good. Yeah, I would say pray, read your Bible, take it one day at a time, and go to church, get plugged in, get connected, buy in, you know, make sure it's a church that you feel comfortable at, of course, because you can go to some churches and it's not always going to feel that way, or it may not be the right place, and some religion and churches do to have a bad rap or give us a bad rap, right? It's not always genuine, right? There's been some churches that say that. So I say that lightly because I don't just say, oh, go to church and it's going to work for you. You got to make sure you find the right one. And the way that you know that it is the right one, in my opinion, is that the preacher is preaching the gospel straight from the book. Yeah. He's not talking about anything else. He's not talking about politics. He's not talking about other religions. He's not hating on anything else. He's just talking about the facts. And the more that you can read the Bible, the more that you can focus on the Word of God, you'll start to see life will start to work out just a little bit better at a time. It's not always going to change overnight.
Sure, it's better, though.
It's going to chip away a little bit at a time. Stay disciplined and stay focused on Him and stay prayed up, and you'll see it work out for you.
This episode is sponsored by Tin Can Timepieces. Looking for a watch that's built for anything life throws at you? Let me introduce you to Tin Can Timepieces. This is more than just a watch. It's a commitment to quality and purpose. Tin Can Timepieces is proudly based out of Georgia and is owned and operated by an active duty U.S. Navy submariner. That's right, a company built on discipline and precision. Every watch they create is handcrafted and features reliable automatic movements, ensuring you get a premium quality feel with every tick. Whether you need a rugged diver or a classic dress watch, Tin Can offers an assortment of styles for every mission. Tin Can Timepieces. Hand-built for purpose, built for the depths. Dive deeper and check out their collection today at tincantime.com.